sailing boats, railway tickets, 4 pence for a polony. And what, Sergeant Cribb, is a polony?
A sausage, sir. German.
I see. And since this German sausage is shown as a legitimate expense, I must assume it was essential?
Crucial, sir.
It's not that I doubt you, Sergeant, but Scotland Yard is not the Royal Mint. The Director is most concerned about expenditure. Which makes me ask why two of my police detectives, you and Constable Thackeray, were investigating a murder in Henley.
The body was drowned, sir, and with 3 counties all fighting to get rid of the cadaver.
Someone remembered the Thames, which is under metropolitan jurisdiction.
It solved their problem, sir. You have read my report.
168 pages, Cribb. Regrettably, neither the Director nor I have time to wade through verbiage.
Essential details, sir.
Then perhaps, Cribb, you can paraphrase them. Reduce them to bare essentials.
We present Barry Foster as Sergeant Cribb, John Cater as Constable Thackeray, and Moya Leslie as Harriet Shaw in Swing, Swing Together, the novel by Peter Lovesey, dramatized for radio by Geoffrey M. Matthews. Swing, Swing Together.
Harriet Shaw, the dare is to bathe nude.
James, Miss Plummer finds out.
Oh, she never has before.
Now, are you coming?
I suppose so.
Oh, my stays, they won't come off. Oh, help me, Molly. Honestly, Harriet, why didn't you undress in the dorm? Now, breathe in. There. Oh, well, come on, then. Oh! Oh, oh, it's warm. Like silk.
I know. Let's swim over to the island.
I'm not sure I can.
Oh, I'll help you, Harriet.
Now put your arms on my shoulders. Oh. Good. Now let your legs float. Ready? Then kick slowly. Jane, Harriet, listen. Boat. They mustn't see us, not like this. Oh, yes. Yes. 3 men and a dog. Oh, I'm frightened.
We should head back. Come on, girls.
Oh, don't leave me, Molly.
Oh, just follow her, Harriet. Go on.
Oh, come back. The tide is pulling me away. Oh, Jane. Oh, Molly. Help me.
Drowning, Sarge?
Yes, but glim the medical report, Thackeray. Here. State and condition of body.
Finger marks. Bruises on back of neck. Yeah. Well, definitely not suicide, Sarge. My word. The young copper's report. Constable Hardy. I am just coming off duty, then to come across 3 women.
Ladies, Thackeray, training to be teachers at Elfrida College.
Oh, maybe, Sarge, but go bathing in the river like that, in the... Well, it ain't seemly. Leastways, not for a young copper's eye.
Disconcerting for anyone, Thackeray. But give the lad credit. He handled the situation most discreetly.
Enter. You sent for me, Miss Plummer.
Shut the door, Harriet.
Well, Constable.
It is the same young lady, ma'am.
I see. Harriet Shaw, will you answer me truthfully? Did you break bounds last Tuesday?
Yes.
But is it true you also risked the reputation of the college by plunging recklessly into the river? Well?
Yes, Miss Plummer. But are you...
And what were you wearing during this escapade?
Well, nothing.
Nothing liable to cause offence to passers-by. Correct, Constable Hardy?
Correct, Sergeant Cribb. There was a strong current. The young lady was in distress. I heard her call and assisted her to safety.
These gentlemen are from Scotland Yard. It appears...
The name's Cribb, Miss Sergeant Cribb. This is Constable Thackeray and Constable Hardy, you know already. Now, you recall he made you a promise?
Yes. He swore he would say nothing about...
Believe me, Miss Shaw.
The constable is in a difficult situation, Miss Shaw. Conflict between his word to you and his duty. Now, we must speak very plain, Miss Plummer. Thackeray.
What? Oh. Well, Miss, the morning after your rescue, Wednesday, the lock keeper at Early spotted a sack. It was caught against the weir. When he attempted to
Get to the point, Thackeray.
He saw a dead body.
A body? Oh, surely you don't think...
Miss Plummer, some water. I'd be grateful if you'd arrange it.
Oh. As you wish, Sergeant. Yes.
Very quickly now, Miss Shaw. When Constable Hardy walked you back here, you spoke of seeing some men.
The ones in the boat?
Yes. Now, could you describe them?
I hardly think so. It was dark and...
You said they reminded you of your hobby. Maps, I believe.
Oh, my friends think my interest very silly.
Not if it helps you remember.
Well, one of them was wearing a cap. He reminded me of the Gulf of Bothnia.
Gulf of where, Miss?
Bothnia, Thackeray. It lies between...
Sweden and Finland.
Sweden and Finland. And the others, Miss?
Oh, the second man wore a straw boater. He was much taller, and he leaned back a long way. Rather like the Persian Gulf.
And the third, Miss?
He was lying down.
Lying down. Like Japan, Miss.
Japan? Oh, yes! That's it exactly. Then you know the man, Sergeant.
No, Miss. Let's say that I like maps. Now, the boat. Was there anything distinctive there?
No. It had two sets of oars and was piled high with luggage. Oh, and there was a little dog in the front.
Dog?
Yes. Had I not been frightened, I would have thought it amusing. A fox terrier in a boat.
Your water, Sergeant.
Yes, thank you, Mum. Thackeray, pour a glass for Miss Shaw. You, Miss Plummer, a word, please, outside.
There you are, Miss.
You appear to like words in private, Sergeant.
Only when it's necessary. Now, I should like to know your plans for Miss Shaw.
That, Sergeant, is no concern of yours.
That may be your view, Miss. Mine is that a man has been murdered. It's possible Miss Shaw can help to identify who killed him, so if you plan to expel her...
That depends on the college governors.
Then maybe I can save you the trouble, Miss Plummer.
How?
I shall take her away.
Take her away? You forget, Sergeant Cribb. I am still responsible for her. What would I tell her parents?
Exactly what you may have to tell the newspaper reporters. College girl spots murderers. Nude bathing party. I can see the headlines. Well, I'm sure you'll handle things. But if Miss Shaw wasn't here...
Tell Miss Shaw, Thackeray.
Oh, I'm a mite puffed, Sarge. It'll come better from Constable Hardy.
Me? Well, Miss, it's...
How you two disappoint me. Now, you're a student, Miss. You must see the connection.
I've no idea, Sergeant.
Three men in a boat. It's a book.
A work of fiction.
Selling all over London.
Oh, stop rowing, Thackeray.
Miss Plummer would not have allowed us to read it.
And I thought she had literary aspirations. Pity, it's well written. And there's a dog in it.
Oh, of course. Recall the cover picture. It's two men rowing, a third lounging back on cushions, and a dog at the front.
In the prow, Harley.
Oh. And the author's name's Jerome. Jerome K. Jerome.
That, Harley, is also on the cover. Now do you know why we're travelling upriver, miss?
The connection appears to be the three men, the ones who frightened me.
Plus one or two other facts.
Like the dog, Sergeant?
Like the dog, Thackeray, but don't ask me to arrest Mr. Jerome. The remaining fact, Miss Shaw, is that our corpse was drowned.
As I nearly was.
You said that when you went for your bathe, you were, well, more suitably dressed.
And what exactly do you mean by that, Constable? Sergeant Cribb, I will not...
Hardy ain't all that tactful, miss. What he was trying to say was that our corpse was fully clothed, right down to his boots. Correct, Hardy?
Absolutely, Sergeant. The dead man's clothes, his appearance, indicated he was a vagrant.
No different from the scores pulled from the river each month. Suicides all.
Then why is Scotland Yard showing such interest?
Because our corpse was murdered.
Absolutely horrible. But why murder a tramp?
Why, indeed, miss. Especially as this killer wasn't after money.
Money?
All vagrants ain't paupers, miss. This one had £300 on him.
Which makes me wonder why it was left. Shocking careless, his killer. Or killers.
Then you do suspect the three men.
Suspicion ain't proof, miss. And only you can supply that.
Me? Oh, but he could be innocent. Simply taking a boat trip. All that connects them with your tramp is the river. That they were all on it last Tuesday night.
As you were, miss.
Do you suspect me as well?
Hardly, Miss Shaw, hardly. No, we've one fact more. Our corpse had certain marks on his leg. Bites made by a small animal. Possibly even a fox terrier.
So, three men you want. With a dog?
Yes. Probably went through a day or so ago.
Yeah. I suppose one's name was Harris, and the others would be George and Jerome K. Jerome. Get your stern in. Now, hold her there. You can have your games, all right, but I tell you, I've read the book.
The book has nothing to do with it. Now, do you recall letting three men through?
Three? Oh, blimey, it's hundreds. Blooming idiots in straw hats and blazers all trying to follow Mr. Jerome's book.
Do they all have dogs with them?
Oh, no, miss, no. Three men's common, but dogs? No, only real fanatics bring dogs. Most Irish skiff at Kingston. Load up with meat pies and then head for Runnymede.
Where they spend their first night.
Right. Next stop's a crane at Marlow, if they can get in. When they get here, oh, that's when the bother starts.
Paying the toll, eh?
Oh, no, no. They look for the backwater of the Wargrave. There shouldn't be a lock here, they say. It ain't in the book. Page 220, I say. They look, and it's there. Where they go wrong is Mr. Jerome mentions the backwater first. And it's a mile up. But are they grateful?
Were our three friends grateful?
Oh, three men. Well?
Florin says you ain't seen them.
Oh, you lose. Oh, well tossed. And you're a gent. Oh, they went through yesterday, about tea time.
Now, the boat was the,
The Lucretia.
And the men?
Well, stroke were big. 15 stone, I'd say. Beard, red face, wore a boater. The shrimp, begging your pardon, was in the bow. Dark, foreign he looked. The glasses so thick, couldn't see his eyes.
Of course, you remember the third bloke.
Oh, glasses, grey suit and bowler. He was the one who spoke.
And did they say where they were heading?
Oh, didn't have to. They're doing the booking, they? So it's bound to be streetly for the next 2 days.
Enerton Backwater, Sergeant?
No, Hardy. the main stream to Ship Lake. There you will put me ashore.
But our men, Sarge, they'll be at Streatley.
Precisely, Thackeray, which is why I will travel overland. By Hansom.
And us, Sarge?
You will follow by way of the river.
But, Sarge, Streatley is 15 miles.
Should make you an expert oarsman, then, Thackeray. You'll be there first thing in the morning.
Where do we spend the night, Sergeant?
The boat's equipped with cushions, Hardy. By the time you've rowed a few miles, I reckon you'll sleep easy.
Your constables may, Sergeant. However, I should prefer a bed.
And you shall have one, miss. I'll book you a room at Tylehurst. At the Roebuck. Here it's very comfortable. And on the river. So Hardy and Thackeray can moor nearby. You can join them after breakfast. That is acceptable?
It seems I have no choice.
He's a hard man, Thackeray.
Not much you know him. And since he's gone, you can call me Ted.
Oh, good. Then I'm Roger. You also agree, do you, Harriet?
No, Constable Hardy, I do not. And if you wish to address me, you will please do it in a gentlemanly manner.
I wouldn't take umbrage, miss. At least not until I've navigated Ship Lake Lock. Pull your oar in, Roger. What's the toll, lockkeeper?
Now, if you do me a turn, this gent here wants Fillimore's Island, about half a mile up. You can take him.
You'll have to share your seat, miss.
I have no objection to sharing with the gentleman.
Oh, he looks that all right, Miss Shaw. Hold her steady, Ted. Now, sir, can you get aboard?
Oh, I'm much obliged, miss. Sorry, gents. Not too close, am I, miss?
Not at all, Mr.
Name's Bustard, miss. Like the bird.
Hey, you, friend Bustard.
Right, Jim. We're three guests. Tea ready?
Oh, just about. Sit yourselves down, please. Sorry we don't rent the bone china, miss.
Oh, don't apologise, Mr.
Hackett, miss. Mr. James Hackett. You all going far?
Just up to Tylehurst. Have you been here long?
Oh, we got here yesterday. Leave tomorrow. We're doing the Thames easy.
Like us? I suppose you noticed a party a few hours ahead of us. Three men in a boat. With a small dog.
A giant, a midget and a foreigner. The last two wearing glasses.
That is them exactly, Mr. Bustard.
With a white fox terrier.
Ah, the very same.
Jim did. This morning.
Straight out of Jerome K. Jerome, they were. Dressed and taught like they owned the river. Well, they still needed me to push their bleeding boat out.
Language, Jim.
Oh, sorry, miss. Been in male company too long. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36.
You can't beat him on the good book. Now, fancy a bite of this. Wheel and ham pie. From the jaws and dragon at Wargrave.
No. You got it at the dog and badger.
So I did, Jim. Right. The dog and badger it was.
The only dog and badger I know is at Middenham. Was it that one?
Who knows? Cares? Point is, it tastes good, and that, mate, is all that matters.
All that matters, Sergeant Cribb, is responsibility. To leave Miss Shaw alone, without a chaperone, and in an inn. I am appalled.
It did her no harm, Inspector.
Oh.
No, I reckon I felt more sorry for Constable Thackeray.
We have to row while he travels by paddle steamer.
Sure. Till yesterday, I'd never even sat in a boat.
Perhaps we could get a tow, like in the book. Mr. Jerome was towed all the way from Reading to Streatley.
But I thought you'd not read the novel, Miss Shaw.
Oh, the landlord at the Roebuck had a copy. I stayed up late reading it.
Oh. Then you'll recall where Mr. Jerome and his friends ended up, after Streatley.
Yes, they stopped at an inn. The barley mow at Clifton Hampton.
So if the three stick to their itinerary, that's where they'll spend the evening. Oh, let's get the boat loaded then.
Sergeant Cribb did say to follow him with all speed.
And he should have laid on a couple of galley slaves.
Or the railway. We rode a goring, cross the river, then get the train. The slow to Oxford stops at Cullen. It's only a short stroll to Clifton Hampden. Hello. Now there's a familiar blazer.
Friends Bustard and Hackett.
Morning, gents.
Morning.
Miss Shaw.
Morning.
Morning, Mr. Bustard.
In trouble, Miss Shaw?
Oh, no. We are continuing, but by train to Clifton Hampden. So it's au revoir.
On a fine day like this? Ha! I see. You're sturdy oarsmen, not so sturdy after all. Gives me a capital idea. The gents can go by rail. You could travel with us.
Well, that would hardly be proper, Mr. Bustard.
You'll be quite safe, miss. Bustard's married, and I work for his father-in-law. We was planning to stop at Clifton anyway.
Place one foot on their boat, Harriet Shaw, and I'll... Decent of you, gents, but we're responsible for the lady.
As you like. See you then. See you upriver, I expect. Ta-ra!
You are not my chaperone, Constable Hardy. And you threatened me. And you, Constable Thackeray, heard him. I shall speak to Mr. Cribb. I shall.
Your health, gentlemen. And my thanks for allowing me to share your table.
No thanks called for, Mr. Cribb. But you should have realised the barley mow would be somewhat crowded.
An oversight, Mr. Humberstone. But then I'm not as well acquainted with Mr. Jerome's work as you, or Mr. Lucifer, or, of course, Mr. Gold. However, three men in a boat.
Three men in a boat.
And to Mr. Jerome K. Jerome.
Jerome K. Jerome.
A pity you have not studied his work, Cribb. We pride ourselves in knowing every word.
Really, Mr. Gold? Well, then a test. You, Mr. Lucifer, where did the three men stay in Marlow?
That, Mr. Cribb, is simple. The Crown Inn. We were there Tuesday night.
Well, then you'll have heard about the body.
Body? We heard nothing of a body.
A suicide, Mr. Cribb?
Who knows, Mr. Gold? However, the newspapers did say the man was a vagrant. You gentlemen are in business together?
Life assurance, Mr. Cribb.
The providential. We are in claims. And everyone makes them, eh, Humberstone?
Death and disaster, Mr. Cribb. A department of little jollity, I fear.
But we try to improve matters. Mr. Lucifer buys various periodicals, reads them to us. It was he who found the first instalment of Three Men in a Boat.
One morning, Gold and I heard him belly laughing. Strange, we thought. Very strange.
Why?
Mr. Lucifer's function is to answer letters. From the recently bereaved.
Mr. Jerome made such a difference. Since then, we have read and reread his book.
And now we are on a pilgrimage, reliving every singular experience.
Ah, put it on my bill.
Yes. Tell me, landlord, bodies. Find many of them in the river hereabouts?
Oh, more common south of Teddington, sir. Sinfulian, usually, sir. They jump off the bridges more often than not.
Maybe dying that way is preferable. Otherwise, they could end up meeting Jack.
Not any more Gold. Jack the Ripper's retired. Hasn't been heard of in months.
It's summer, Lucifer. Our Jack likes the dark, foggy nights. He'll be back, eh, Mr. Cribb?
Really, gentlemen, linking Mr. Jerome and Jack the Ripper? I think a short walk and then bed is called for.
Then you'll be staying here?
The landlord found me a room. And you?
Overnight in Cullum Reach. Then Oxford tomorrow. The exact timetable, Mr. Cribb, as in the book.
Except that you do not have a dog.
But we do, Mr. Cribb.
Ah.
Borrowed, but here. He is called Towser.
I thought the dog in the book was Montmorency.
We have enough problems with Towser. And one cannot be too slavish.
We follow the spirit, Mr. Cribb. Our skiff is similar, the route exact, but we alter our stops. The immortal trio stayed 2 days at Streatley. For us, one was sufficient.
Marlow was much better. I liked Marlow.
They say the Crown there is extremely comfortable.
Perfection? It has an ideal location.
Well, then I must visit it. Is it near the bridge?
Tolerably close.
With rooms facing the river?
Some. Ours were at the back.
Rooms at the back? Hardly, gents, hardly.
Why, landlord?
Because the Crown's at the top end of Marlow High Street, sir. You never see the river from there.
That you, Thackeray?
In person, Sergeant.
Think I didn't spot you in the pub? 3 pints, wasn't it? Oh, Miss Shaw. Where's Constable Hardy?
Well, the last I saw of him, he was looking for a butcher.
A what, miss?
A butcher. He intended to buy a polony.
A sausage? After the supper he put away?
He needed it for a forensic experiment. Apparently detectives can tell a great deal from bloodstains, hair, teeth marks.
Sarge, the teeth marks on the body, Humberstone's dog, a sausage... Smart of Constable Hardy. Bloody smart.
That is not an expression I favour, Mr. Thackeray. Do you still think they're guilty, Sergeant?
They did make one big mistake, miss. They claimed to have stayed at the Crown at Marlow.
Claimed?
Yes. But they said it was near the river. It isn't. They said they were there Tuesday, the night of the murder. Now, Marlow is 2 miles downriver from Hurley, so if they really were at the Crown, they have an alibi.
They could have rode there after dark, sir.
No, Thackeray. The locks at Temple and Hurley close at sunset, so if our trio were at Hurley, they were not in their boat. But if they're lying, as I believe, they could have rode beyond Hurley on Tuesday, killed the tramp that night, and rode upriver in the morning. Now, I suggest we stop theorising, see how hard he's doing.
Here, boy. See what I got. Come on, then.
Problems, Constable?
Oh, I can't get near him, Sergeant.
That young Roger is because you're downwind. He can't smell the polony.
Well, seeing you're such an expert, Thackeray, you get in and help him. Go to the bow, Thackeray, the bow. That's downwind.
Right, sir. Good boy, good boy.
Hey, out the bow rope. No, don't let it loose. Hey!
Grab him, Hardy, for heaven's sake.
Reach up, Ted.
Come on.
Behind you, Constable. Look out. Right.
No, Tauzer. No!
Come on, get off me, you little...
Beautiful, isn't it, Thackeray?
Turn round to the light, Roger. Now, this may sting a little.
Ah, the teeth marks look capital, Constable. Well, on your feet, then.
No, Sergeant.
Now, you've got work to do.
Work?
Yes. You've less than an hour to get to the station. Train for Henley goes at 11:15.
Why Henley, Sergeant?
Because the tramp's body is at Henley. And since you've become exhibit number one, who better to compare the evidence? Oh, by the way, he's been identified. His name's Walters. Choppy Walters. Known to the local bobbies. A dosser who liked his bevy, apparently.
Any motive for his death, Sarge?
No, the vagrant who identified Choppy said he was a loner.
So there's no link with our three friends?
Not yet. So, Hardy, after you've compared the teeth marks, you can head for Marlow, the Crown. I want the register checked for Humberstone, Lucifer and Gold.
Oof. Crikey, Sarge. Beats me how our three got so far ahead.
They woke up early, Thackeray. Kept to their schedule.
Oof. It would help if you took an oar, Sarge. Let me shore steer. Bastard!
Thackeray! I'm sorry, Miss Shaw.
Oh, it's bastard, Sarge, like the bird. There on the bank. Bloke on his knees is called Hackett.
Presumably you can identify the crowd round him as well.
Mr. Bastard and Mr. Hackett, Sergeant. We met them at Shiplake and again upriver. Seems as though Mr. Hackett takes his religion really seriously.
Could be he's trying for converts, miss.
Pity you didn't meet him, Sarge. He quotes the Bible like a bishop.
His texts, Thackeray. Do you recall them?
Yeah, a couple, Sarge. Be sure your sin will find you out. And, the idle words on the day of judgment.
He quoted a psalm as well, number 104. Man goeth forth to his work.
He say anything else, Thackeray?
He don't talk very much, Sarge. But he did correct Bustard once. About a veal and hang pie.
What?
Mr. Bustard said he bought one at Wargrave, at the George and Dragon. Mr. Hackett insisted it was the dog and badger.
Probably referring to the pie's contents, miss. They from London?
Yeah, on holiday. Bustard's a tally man.
And our psalm-quoting friend?
He didn't say, Sarge. Except he works with Bustard's father-in-law. Look at him, bobbing up and down like a ruddy piston.
Piston? Thackeray, the shore, fast as you can.
Do you think he's in seizure?
No. With that movement and the gaping crowd, I reckon it's resuscitation.
That's it, friend Bustard. He's gone.
You did your best.
What a bloke should want to kill himself.
But as the book says, in the midst of life...
Nah, no point. I did my best, but...
That's obvious. Your resuscitation drill. Is it Sylvester or Marshall Hall?
Oh, Sylvester. As taught by the Royal Humane Society.
So you would not have grasped his neck?
Oh, well, hauled him out by his raincoat, under the arms. Here, what are the questions, anyway?
Just interest, Mr. Hackett. These bruises, there, on the back of the neck. Looks like he's been gripped hard.
Bruises on the back of the neck. Suggests they were both murdered by the same hand, eh, Crib?
Obviously, Inspector. Except why kill a tramp and a fellow?
Oh, really, Crib, they were both fellows.
Agreed, sir, but the second victim was a fellow of Oxford University. Mr. Harold Bonner Hill.
Ah.
Admittedly, Bonner Hill was not the most inspired of tutors, but sartorially he was an inspiration.
He was certainly well-clothed, Warden. But his waterproof coat suggested he'd been fishing.
Yes, it was quite a passion of Bonner Hill's. Once it was the theatre. Then, recently, it's been hooks and worms. Of course, Fernandez was responsible for that.
Fernandez, sir?
John Fernandez, Constable, another fellow. He and Bonner Hill had a regular routine. Saturday mornings dedicated to pike. Unfortunately, today, Fernandez was ill. Oh, is it damn foolish? Bonner Hill going out alone? Bad currents?
Mr. Fernandez. I should like to see him.
Then I suggest we sit here. Fernandez usually comes by, but now he suffers from asthma. He says a brisk walk clears his head.
Mr. Bonner Hill, I take it he was a bachelor, seeing he lived in...
No, Sergeant Cribb. He was estranged from his wife.
Ah.
Widow. Very beautiful, but an actress.
Well, surely the respectable theatre is accepted in Oxford.
No, we're not prudes, Sergeant. As a matter of fact, shortly after their estrangement, Mrs. Bonner Hill returned to the stage, under another name, of course. The play was called Forget Me Not. Naturally, she was recognized. The next time Bonner Hill lectured... Every undergraduate sported that flower in his buttonhole. Difficult when you're lecturing on feudalism. Ah, Fernandez. You feeling better?
Good day, Warden. Yes, the crisis is past.
And then perhaps you'll join us. Sergeant Cribb and Constable Thackeray from the Detective Police. About poor Bonner Hill.
Rest his soul.
When you've quite finished examining my trophies, oh, Sergeant.
My apologies, Mr. Fernandez. The curiosity of the uninitiated. Fly fishing must be a very relaxing pastime.
I do not indulge in pastime, Sergeant Cribb. Fishing for pike is a sport.
Are there many pike to be found locally?
The record is £29. My ambition is to take one far larger. I devote every Saturday morning to that quest, and believe me, Sergeant, before long I will achieve it.
Was that why Mr. Bonner Hill always accompanied you, sir?
Now I see it. The subtlety of the detective police. The link between Bonner Hill and myself. We will drink to that. I trust you gentlemen take sherry.
Ah, your health, sir. Have you any idea why he was killed?
Who knows, Sergeant? He had no enemies that I know of.
You saw a great deal of the dead man?
Yes, Sergeant, I did.
Did he ever speak to you about his matrimonial problem?
His biggest one was the murderess.
The what, sir?
A frivolous remark, Sergeant. Melanie, his wife, once attempted to play Lady Macbeth. Murdered both the character and the play. But when your forte is comedy...
Happens quite often with theatricals, sir. I believe it's known as versatility. Did Mr. Bonner Hill ever tell you why he left the lady?
Hardly, Sergeant. Besides, what gentleman would discuss such a delicate subject?
Perhaps a gentleman wouldn't, sir, but...
What the devil are you implying, Sergeant?
I'm implying nothing, Mr. Fernandez. What I'm saying is... You spent many hours with the deceased, alone, in a boat. Yet you appear not to have exchanged one single confidence. I find that strange. Especially when yours was a regular routine. A routine which was only broken today.
Because I was ill. And I warned Bonner Hill about it last night. I always know when an attack is coming.
Pity Mr. Bonner Hill didn't. So you told him you wouldn't be going out today well in advance?
I just said so. What of it?
Well, then, sir, it makes you the only person in Oxford who knew he'd be fishing alone.
Meaning what?
Meaning that Bonner Hill's murder was not planned.
You say anyone on the river could have been the victim, Sarge?
I fear so, Thackeray. A tramp, university don, anyone who happened to be about. Murder for the sake of killing. And the verdict would be suicide if our murderer hadn't been so careless.
In what way, Sergeant? Finger marks? Bruises?
Found on the deceased's neck. They prove that Mr. Bonner Hill was murdered. Now, if you'll excuse us, we must go to the mortuary. Give our condolences to Mr. Bonner Hill's widow.
Oh, Sergeant Crib, a widow. Oh, I do not know what will become of me. Where will I go?
Well, your husband owned a house in North Oxford, ma'am. It will be yours now. So, if you'll be seated. Just a few questions. You're presently living in Windsor, I believe?
Yes. The gentleman who accompanied me here, Mr. Goldstein, runs a Windsor playhouse. He found me wounds close by after dear Harry and I parted.
There's no need to explain, Mrs. Bonner Hill.
Tea, Sarge. Thought Mrs. Bonner Hill might welcome you.
Yes.
There's a gent waiting. Mr. Goldstein says he'd like to see her.
Well, you can show him in, Thackeray. Unless you have news of our three friends.
Descriptions have been circulated, Sarge. The locals are touring the pubs and houseboats.
I'll see they get a move on.
Right.
Constable Hardy reported in yet?
No, Sarge. Miss Shaw's getting a bit worried. Ever since Towser nicked him, she's...
Yes, well, just ask her to join us, Thackeray.
Right, sir.
Who is Miss Shaw, Sergeant?
Oh, a young lady, ma'am. She's helping us with our investigations.
Come in, miss. And Mr. Goldstein, Sergeant.
Jacob Goldstein, theatrical manager, but here in the capacity of advisor and friend.
Oh, yeah. I hope you will accept my condolences, Mrs. Bonner Hill. Thank you, Miss Shaw. Do you live in Oxford?
Miss Shaw is presently staying at St. Aldate's. And since you will be required for the inquest, I suggest you should stay with her. It'll be company.
A sensible suggestion, Melanie. I must return to Windsor for the evening performance. It is my duty to the cast, but I will be available.
I'd appreciate your staying a short while longer, Mr. Goldstein. Points you could assist me with, time permitting.
To help the police, I can always spare a few minutes.
Excellent. Well, now, Mrs. Bonnehill has performed in your theatre?
On occasions, yes.
So that'll be how you met?
Yes.
But Mrs. Bonnehill is not performing at the moment?
No, I am between plays.
Oh. Oh, seeing Mr. Goldstein came here with you, I assumed you were in his current production. You know, Mr. Goldstein, I admire theatricals, the way they stick together. After this tragedy, I'll wager Mrs. Bonnehill will not go short of parts.
Your tone, Sergeant, is unpleasant. Mrs. Bonnehill is a comedienne. My theatre is currently playing King Lear. I am here simply as a friend. Now, if that is all you wish to know...
Just one or two questions more, sir. The deceased, did you know him?
We met on occasion.
But Mr. Bonnehill disapproved of theatricals.
No, Sergeant. He disapproved of me. Of my appearing on a stage.
To marry one of the great theatrical talents and then stop performing. It is like cutting the wings off a butterfly. That is why she left him. It is no secret, Melanie.
But we remained good friends, Sergeant. How, he even sent me money regularly.
So now you'll notice the lack of it.
No. Whatever else she was, Harry Bonnehill was a prudent man. His life was insured for £5,000.
The policy, ma'am? Do you know which company issued it?
I believe it was the Providential.
Our three friends are.
I have an excellent memory, Thackeray. One more question, ma'am. Would you know anyone who had a grudge against your late husband?
No. He was well liked at the university. Of course, after I left him... It might be better if you asked some of his colleagues.
Like John Fernandez?
We do not speak about Fernandez, Sergeant. Not now, not ever, and not in front of Mrs. Bonnehill. Come, Melanie, this interrogation has gone on long enough. It is ended.
No, Mr. Goldstein. It will end when you or Mrs. Bonnehill tells me about Fernandez.
No.
Please, Jacob, I must speak of it. I first met John Fernandez at the college. I had seen him a few times, so I smiled. Then, without warning, he attacked me, kissed my lips, placed his hands inside my blouse. It took me almost a year before I could tell Harry. By then we were married. He had invited Fernandez to dinner. So I told him, said I did not wish to see the man. Harry made excuses, said it was common knowledge that Mr. Fernandez had a weakness for the ladies, that it was accepted. Then he turned on me, Sergeant, spoke about husbands who were forced to conceal their shame. It made me feel that I was at fault, that I would betray him if I ever acted on a stage again.
And he still remained friendly with Mr. Fernandez?
Yes. He said that Mr. Fernandez had other qualities, ones I should find interesting. After a few visits, I almost believed it. Then...
There was a further incident.
It was worse than the first.
And it still made no difference to the friendship?
I did not tell Harry. I couldn't. Then after we separated, Fernandez pestered me again and again. I ignored him. It's funny how Harry used to laugh at Fernandez, ridicule him for his mania for fishing. I never thought he would ever take up everything he once held in contempt. Had he not taken up fishing, Harry would be alive today. Oh, find your murderer by all means, Sergeant Quibb. Hang him. But remember, I hold only one man responsible for Howie's death.
Obviously you were moved by the lady's performance. You did not question her further.
Didn't think it was necessary, Inspector. The lady was in Miss Shaw's care, and two ladies together. Besides, the local constables had located our three suspects.
A comedy of errors, Crib. Humberston, Lucifer, Gold, three men on a houseboat with
three naked ladies. More bare facts, eh?
Naked ladies, gambling, alcohol. I hardly think the Providential Assurance Company will approve. Well, Mr. Humberston?
Not their concern. Besides, we broke no laws, Sergeant Cribb.
You did assault Constable Thackeray.
Well, I thought he was a blasted peeping Tom.
Now, sir, picture it. Gold, Lucifer and I are strolling through Christchurch Meadows. There, what do we see? Three charming ladies on a picnic. We engage in gentle conversation. They invite us onto their houseboat.
And suddenly there's chaos.
The ladies scream, Towser barks, faces peer through windows. I, sir, am roused. I hit out blindly. I suppose I could apologise to the constables.
For a broken nose, three ruined uniforms, Constable Thackeray nearly drowned.
Yes, you could, sir. After we speak about the corpse.
What corpse?
We spoke about it at the Barley Mow when we first met.
Oh, the tramp at Hurley. But you didn't say you was a detective.
There was no need, then.
Every need, Sergeant. Tell me, what happens if I impersonate a policeman?
You could be locked up.
Well, surely the same rule should apply to you. A policeman impersonating a gentleman.
Manners make the man, Mr. Humberston.
But if you prefer a policeman, the tramp was murdered.
Murdered? And you suspect me?
There was a dog bite on his leg.
Oh, you suspect Towser.
Well then, Sergeant, we will both appoint a solicitor. You may need one.
Another body was found yesterday, near Osney Lock. A Mr. Bonner Hill, a don from Merton College. He too had been murdered.
A tramp and a don. Very democratic of Towser, wouldn't you say?
There were no teeth marks on the second body, Mr. Armbruster.
Ergo, Towser is innocent. However, there has to be some connection.
There is, Mr. Humberston. You and your two friends, Mr. Gold and Mr. Lucifer.
You are accusing us, Sergeant. The idea is ridiculous.
Why, Mr. Lucifer? The first murder was at Hurley last Tuesday. You and your friends were nearby. At the Crown at Marlow, wasn't it?
It's possible.
So possible that none of you could recall whether or not it was on the river. You did have rooms there?
Well, did we or didn't we? No, we did not.
But Mr. Jerome's route, I understood you were following it exactly.
Faulty memory, Sergeant. Humberston told you we were not being slavish. So we did not stay at the Crown. We chose a lodging house instead.
But you have the address.
Well, it was dark. I could locate it, perhaps, if I was in Marlow.
You may have to, Mr. Lucifer. Mr. Bonner Hill, did you know him?
An Oxford don? No, I do not mix in such august company.
He was insured with the Providential.
Like thousands of others. So if there is nothing more...
Only the ladies, the ones you met on Christchurch Meadows.
Well, what of them? We met them. We went to their houseboat. You know the rest.
Only what occurred after Constable Thackeray's arrival.
We reached the boat. The ladies suggested we play cards for low stakes. I decided a celebration was in order, so I purchased some oysters and champagne. When I returned to the boat, we danced.
Mm.
Then the events are hazy. Sergeant, you will never know my shame. To think that I and my colleagues encouraged, nay, introduced those ladies to gambling, to alcohol. How will I forget it?
I shouldn't worry, sir.
Have you no conscience, Constable?
More than some, sir, but not for, well, professionals. Ladies of the town, so to speak.
Lucifer's face. If only I could have seen it.
To share his discomfort, Mr. Gold?
No. Lucifer is teetotal, wears the blue ribbon, but occasionally he lapses.
Then he has no memory. You saying he won't remember where he was last Tuesday?
Chapter 12 of the book, Sergeant. The Crown at Marlow.
That's where Mr. Jerome stayed. Mr. Lucifer said you changed your plans.
No. The plan was to stay there, but then Lucifer found an inn right on the river. That was where he lapsed. After that, walking to the Crown became difficult. For all of us. Oh, such a night, Sergeant.
Then you stayed at the inn, Mr. Gold?
No. Somehow we returned to our boat and collapsed. Next morning we rowed to Oxford for breakfast. kidneys. It was an experience.
Naturally, the hotel which served you can provide you with an alibi.
No, we cooked for ourselves. An open fire in Christchurch Meadows. So, Sergeant, all I had was an experience, but no alibi.
Now that, sir, is a pity. Your father, Mr. Gold, was he born in England?
You are suggesting I am not British.
No, Mr. Gold, only where your father came from, originally.
He came from Russia.
And his name in Russia?
The same as mine. Gold. Samuel Isaac Gold.
Ah, our insurance friends. I reckon I've nailed them. Tucked up, are they?
All comfortable, Sarge.
Put up a chair, Thackeray. Smoke if you wish.
Oh, thanks, Sarge. What do you plan now?
To get our evidence together, Thackeray. We'll start with the insurance.
But choppy water, Sarge. He couldn't have had any.
Exactly. So his murder must have been a rehearsal. Bonner Hills was the performance. Now, who gets his insurance?
Obvious, Sarge. His widow.
Precisely. And which company will deal with the insurance claim?
Providential. Claims department.
Yep.
Humberstone, Lucifer and Gold.
Exactly. Now, let's look at Mrs. Bonner Hill's fancy man.
Theatre bloke from Windsor. Goldstein.
Goldstein. Now, as you well know, immigrants often shorten their names to try to make them sound more English. So?
Goldstein. Gold. Gold. So that's why. You reckon they're related?
The Home Office are checking, and if they are, say, cousins. Oh, a game of consequences, Thackeray. Melanie Bonner Hill meets Jacob Goldstein at the Windsor Playhouse. She says, I want to act, but my husband won't let me. He says, to get rid of him, we'll take money. She says, his life is insured with the Providential. He says, maybe my friend Sammy Gold can help. The consequence? Bonner Hill's death.
And the world says murder.
Yes, Thackeray, but it was supposed to say accident. Come in. Ah, Miss Shaw. And Constable Hardy, the prodigal Thackeray, has returned.
I must speak with you, Sergeant.
Yeah, in a moment, Miss, in a moment. Took your time, didn't you, Hardy? Well, make your report, man. The teeth marks match up.
It wasn't Towser, Sarge.
What? Not Towser? It has to be. Did you check carefully?
Extremely carefully, Sergeant. The bite on the tramp's leg was made by a much larger dog.
Not possible. Where did you find this out, Hardy?
Last evening.
Last evening? You wait till today, after I've arrested them.
I'm sorry, Sergeant, but you did order me to check at the Crown.
You needn't have bothered, they weren't there.
I know. Well, that's why I did some more checking.
Go on.
Well, Sergeant, if Towser didn't bite the tramp, our three have no reason to lie about being at the Crown. But they did.
Don't keep me in suspense, Hardy.
Well, the reason they lied, Sergeant, was... Well... Excuse me, Harriet. They picked up three women.
What?
Stayed with them in lodgings from 11 on Tuesday night until 7 on Wednesday morning. A lockkeeper saw them, identified the women.
Every night at their age, of course.
And they said they were following Mr. Jerome.
Gives them a cast iron alibi.
We'll have to release them now, Sarge.
This time of night would be uncharitable, Thackeray. Besides, Humberstone still ain't fully recovered. And I haven't heard from the Home Office.
Oh, you have, Sergeant. I was asked to give you these. Reports from Bethnal Green Police Station and Whitehall.
Good. Yeah. Reference Gold, yes. Confirm Providential. Father Samuel Isaac Gold. Tailor, highly respected. Changed his name from... Goldberg? Goldberg? Now all I need is for someone to tell me that Bonner Hill wasn't the intended victim.
I'm sorry, Sergeant Cribb, but that is exactly what I came to discuss. I believe the intended victim was John Fernandez, and I think I can prove it.
Come.
Mr. Fernandez?
Yes?
My name is Harriet Shaw.
Of course. You are chaperoning Mrs. Bonner Hill.
The warden mentioned it at high table. Now, please, please come in. Oh,
thank you, but no. It's just this letter. Melanie, Mrs. Bonner Hill, and I were clearing up some of her husband's effects. We found it. It is addressed to you.
Careless of me. I must have left it in Bonner Hill's room on Friday night. I was suffering from my asthma. Something in my room interests you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's your maps. They're an amazing collection.
A hobby, Miss Shaw. You are interested in cartography.
Oh, yes.
Please, you must look at them.
It is kind of you, but Mrs. Bonner Hill, I cannot leave her for long.
Of course not. However, as I am the foremost authority in Oxford on this subject, tomorrow at 11 we will meet at the Bodleian. I will show you their map collection.
How many more times, Sergeant? Yes, I looked in on Bonner Hill on Friday night. My asthma was bad, so I decided not to fish. But the man was adamant, said he'd go alone.
And did you discuss the waters he would fish?
Yes, it was a backwater near Bullstick Stream. His punt was found there.
Yes. Did any other person suggest you go to that particular backwater?
No. No, it was our choice.
That, sir, has caught me by surprise.
Why?
Why? Because I reckon this murder was arranged over a week ago. It was last Tuesday when the tramp died, killed the same way as Mr. Bonner Hill. I think the murderers, there were three of them, according to a witness, were testing out the method.
The method?
A simple one, sir. We reckon they got the tramp on their boat, rendered him insensible with alcohol, then pushed his head under the water. Result? A drowned body. Verdict? Accident or suicide? Now, the same method was used on Mr. Bonner Hill, except they used chloroform. But if his murder was premeditated, the killers had to know where to find their victim.
Then it had to be chance, Sergeant. If it hadn't been for my asthma, they'd have found two anglers. You are not suggesting I conspired to cause Bonner Hill's death?
No, sir. No. I believe you were the intended victim.
Me? Really, Sergeant Cribb? The idea is totally ridiculous.
And hear me up, Mr. Fernandez. You've fished alone for 2 years. You only started going out with Mr. Bonner Hill 6 weeks ago. So possibly the murderers were not aware that you'd taken a companion. Nor did they know where you would be fishing. Unless they thought of tempting you. Letting you know that a record pike had been seen somewhere close by.
And how would they do that?
If it were me, sir, I'd send you a message or a letter. Anonymous, of course.
Theories, Sergeant. And I resent the implication that I am withholding evidence.
There you go again, sir. My job is to ask questions. If they seem, well, offensive, I apologize. You're certain no one bears a grudge against you?
No one I can think of, Sergeant.
Then it's a riddle, Mr. Fernandez. Your parents, are they still alive?
No. I only have two brothers. Both are in the army. Oh, and an uncle in London. He is the deputy governor of Coldbath Fields House of Correction, the prison. Obviously, you know it.
Well enough, sir. But by its other name, the Steel.
You may have 2.5 minutes, Sergeant, and you're obstructing my view of the clock.
Just so. I shan't take more than 2.5 minutes, Mr. Fernandez.
You'd better not, otherwise those 12 prisoners will tread a 40-minute shift of 20, and as the treadmill can only be stopped by me, I suggest you speak rapidly. Well,
just after information, sir. About your nephew, Mr. John Fernandez.
Really, Sergeant? What was your name again?
Cribb, sir.
Well, Sergeant Cribb, the Metropolitan Commissioner will hear of this persecution. I will not have it. I was personally assured there would be no further questions about my nephew. I will not have me, my family, hounded any longer. I intend to speak with Inspector Abilene personally.
Abilene, the officer in charge of the Ripper investigations?
My nephew was cleared completely. You lot there, pick your feet up, sharp, now I've gone the crank. Your time is up, Sergeant. Good day. That man there,
extra punishment.
But, sir...
I have nothing further to discuss, Sergeant Cribb.
But I have, sir. Murder. Someone nearly murdered your nephew yesterday.
Moderate your voice, Cribb. Prisoners. Now. You tried to kill my nephew.
I hoped you might tell me that, sir. I believe the murderers are from London, perhaps even released prisoners seeking revenge on you, through your family.
Prisoners? Revenge? No. These men have no manners for me, Sergeant. But they have much to thank me for. The fact that I am supervising the treadmill. That, Sergeant, is attention to the body. But I am also concerned with their spirits. Each Sunday, all my sons and daughters go with them to chapel. The texts you see about you. There, for instance. Be sure your sin will find you out. Are selected by my dear wife. No. Neither I nor my family have anything to fear from former prisoners, nor do I feel my nephew has any cause for alarm, despite the slight imperfections in his character.
Jack the Ripper. Glory, Sarge. You believe it? John Fernandez suspected of being him. Dear me, they interviewed enough suspects.
Look at interview 324, Thackeray.
Fernandez, John, age 38. Born, sin, occupation, fellow of Merton College. Living in Swan. Suspect interviewed by Inspector Abilene at Oxford. Information received from anonymous source that... suspect was known to force his attentions on women. Informant suggested suspect was in London on the nights when the Ripper murders took place.
Now, Hardy, read number 326.
Suspect agreed he had been in London for meetings of the Royal Geographical Society. Stayed at Oxford and Cambridge Club when Stride and Eddowes were murdered. The night of Mary Kelly's murder, he claimed to have been with his uncle, Mr. Matthew Fernandez. This fact was denied by Mr. Fernandez. Checks at the Oxford and Cambridge Club showed no record of John Fernandez having stayed. When further interviewed, the suspect admitted, blimey, that he spent the night in question in a Kensington lodging house with a Mrs. Melanie Bonner Hill. This was confirmed by the lady and verified by entries in her diary.
Interesting, wouldn't you say?
Oh. Well, it gives Fernandez a motive, Sergeant, and with Bonner Hill dead...
Melanie becomes a wealthy widow.
Seems obvious, Sarge. Throws Miss Shaw's theory right out of the window.
So we arrest Fernandez?
No, Hardy, we do not arrest Fernandez, nor do we overlook Miss Shaw's theory. Yes, an uncommon clever woman, that.
I've never denied that, Sergeant. But if it's not Fernandez...
It has to be Humberstone, Gold and Lucifer. But we know they're innocent.
And we released them. So if we agree that Miss Shaw did see three men in her boat, and it wasn't our three gents, who did she see?
Can I thank you? To have actually seen, touched Marco Polo's Livre du Concombre.
One of Oxford's finer treasures, Miss Shaw. The first illustrated travel book. We are lucky to have it at the Bodleian.
And I am lucky to have you as a guide. Oh, but it is strange.
What is?
Chance. To think, had I not met Melanie, Mrs. Bonnehill, I should never have seen those wonderful maps.
Nor would I have met you. Miss Shaw, Harriet, I may address you that way.
Oh, please.
Rationalists, and there are many in Oxford, say life is a sequence of chance events. I think differently. I believe our meeting is far more. To pursue the point, had I not had an attack of asthma, I would have been fishing with Bonner Hill on Saturday.
And possibly now be dead.
I was not thinking so dramatically. No, my thought was that Bonner Hill would still be alive, His murderers would have hesitated about attacking the two of us. But had that happened, we would not be here now. So, you see, even death brings its compensations.
But suppose Mr. Bonner Hill's murderers are still about?
A chilling thought, Harriet. But what of it?
I believe you should have been their victim.
So it was you. I knew Cribb couldn't have thought of that.
I'm convinced that my theory is right.
You are right, my dear. Absolutely right. Bonner Hill is on the post-mortem table because he was mistaken for me.
And you do not care? Worry that someone wishes you dead, or why?
Why? That, Harriet, is a long story. And I shall relate it to you. But not here in public. We will walk to Magdalen Bridge and hire a punt. I know just the spot where a man may speak in confidence. So, if you agree...
Yes, Mr. Fernandez, I do agree.
Then agree to one thing more. Please use my first name.
John?
No, that is what my parents call me. But I prefer my nickname. Jack.
Granted that Miss Shaw didn't tell us everything, Sarge. I mean, if she wasn't bathing alone, well, she wouldn't want to get the other girls into trouble, but that's no reason to lie about the three men.
She didn't, Thackeray. Now, do you recall the description she gave us?
She compared them to maps.
Didn't mean much to me. Maps wasn't done in my school.
Then I'll remedy that immediately, Thackeray. Give us your notebook. Now, take the first man. What did he look like?
Like the Gulf of Bothnia, Sarge.
Right, which looks like this. Now, look at the top of the gulf. See the peak of a cap, the nose and chin underneath.
And a long, thin neck, a narrow chest. He don't look much like an oarsman to me, Sarge.
Exactly, which is why I took him to be Mr. Lucifer. Now, we draw the Persian Gulf.
Big fella sitting in the boat.
Yep.
A large head and hat. Humberstone?
As I thought. Now, Miss Shaw wasn't too certain about the third man.
And you suggested Japan, Sarge.
Yes, now Japan looks like this. Like someone leaning back against a cushion.
Mr. Gold.
But Mr. Gold was the spryest of our three suspects. He would hardly lounge. Yet he wasn't one of the oarsmen. So, was he asleep? But would anyone going out to commit murder fall asleep on the way? Hardly. So what does that leave?
I'm totally baffled, Sergeant.
Me too.
Then think. Suppose the third man wasn't one of the murderers. If he wasn't, then there's only one person he could be. Choppy Walters. Dead drunk and ready to be dropped into the water.
I think this is far enough, Harriet. Yes, we will stop under the willows. Do not be alarmed if they brush your face. They form a natural canopy. A block from the outside world. Now, to matters of greater import.
Oh, no, Mr. Fernandez. It's Jack. I have drunk enough.
Oh, come.
Oh, very well, then, but only a drop.
Nonsense. It will help you concentrate. Now, you were asking why I was so certain that Bonner Hill was murdered in error. The evidence, my dear Harriet, was in your hands all the time.
My hands?
The letter which you so kindly returned to me. It was an invitation, one which the writer knew I should not be able to resist.
Miss Shaw missing, yet you wait 4 hours before informing me.
I thought Harriet had gone for a stroll. Later I started thinking. She knew no one in Oxford, yet she had put on her best clothes.
That is not uncommon with young ladies.
No, but yesterday I found a letter among my husband's possessions. It was addressed to John Fernandez. She offered to return it personally, and I allowed it.
What?
Oh, it was foolish of me. She is so young.
Then you think Harriet Miss Shaw is with him? Sergeant, I must go and find her.
Answer it, Thackeray.
Sergeant Chris.
Steady yourself, man. The letter, Mrs. Bonner Hill, did you by any chance read it?
Yes. All right.
It was wrong, perhaps, but I was curious. It had a London postmark, and the envelope was open.
Sarge, the lock keeper at Abingdon.
In a minute, Thackeray.
It's urgent, Sarge.
No, oh, excuse me, Mum. Well?
The Oxford to Reading paddle steamer, Sarge. Two passengers, a man and a woman, behaving oddly.
We're looking for two men, Thackeray.
I know, Sarge, but the captain reckons that's what they are. Except one of them's wearing a frock.
In that case, Thackeray, we'd better arrest them.
But Miss Shaw, Sergeant...
You can take care of that, Hardy. Mrs. Bonner Hill knows Fernandez, his haunt. She can guide you and tell you about the letter.
I do not understand. This one is no Jack.
A Jack, my dear Harriet, is a young pike. It is not sport to take them before they are fully grown. No, whoever wrote this knew it would make sense to an angler.
But an unsigned letter inviting you to meet a complete stranger in the middle of nowhere. I would have been more than suspicious.
And you have spent years searching for a record pike. No. Curiosity is stronger than suspicion. The more I considered it, the more likely it seemed. Especially when the writer obviously knew about pike fishing. What I could not fathom was why it was unsigned. The only explanation... that somebody, for malicious reasons, perhaps, wished to frustrate another angler. Someone, perhaps, who had actually found the giant fish, was planning to take it.
But you did not go to the rendezvous.
I would have, but for my damned asthma. But I showed Bonner Hill the letter. He offered to go in my place, to discover the location. He even agreed to say he was John Fernandez. Neither of us realized how fateful that decision would be.
Have you told Sergeant Cribb?
No. No. My experience with the police has not been pleasant. Last June, I had a profoundly disturbing experience at their hands. I am a bachelor, and... well, there are moments when ladies, even married ones, are... available. The police were sent a letter, an anonymous letter, indicating that I was a corrupter of women... that I was prone to assaulting them.
I can hardly believe that.
No more than I. To be taken for a veritable satyr was bad enough, but to be accused of... well, there had been certain terrible incidents concerning women in London. The writer had maliciously linked my name with the events in question.
But if you were not in London...
But I was, Harriet... and with a lady.
A lady? Melanie?
Yes. But as a gentleman, how could I reveal her name? So I fabricated a story. Told them I was with my Uncle Matthew. He holds a senior government position. I thought it would impress the police that they would not approach him.
Obviously they did.
Yes. But he denied I had been with him, so they came back. Only this time they were not as polite. They accused me of being Jack the Ripper. It was only then I told them about my nights with Melanie.
And she confirmed your story?
Yes. It was ungallant, and I know she has never forgiven me, but I am eternally grateful to her. Now you know why I could say nothing to Sergeant Cribb. The ordeal of having my private life laid bare yet again... I know. I must destroy the letter.
Oh, no. No, it is evidence. Huh? You cannot. Oh, give it to me, please, Jack.
Oh, you will have to take it then. Come, Harriet. Reach for it.
Jack, give it to me, please. Don't play games.
Oh, I don't. But I think you do, Harriet Shaw. I think you do.
The Ifley Queen don't break schedule for no one, Sergeant. But blokes dressed as women. Proper disgusting, I call it. They don't even look like a woman. Well, not close up anyway.
Wouldn't fancy it myself. Got the bracelets handy, Thackeray?
As always, Sarge.
You two there.
Blimey. It's the gents from Oxford.
What?
Sergeant Cribb to you. James Hackett, I have reason to believe your companion is a man. By the name of Percy Bustard.
I should like to put to you some questions concerning the death of one Henry Bonner Hill.
May the Lord have mercy upon our souls.
He will, Jim. All I want to know is how you copped us.
Easily. Hackett's the Persian Gulf. You're the Gulf of Bothnia. What the devil are you up to?
Unbuttoning my bodice. This dress is as hot as Hades. And of my blazer and trousers underneath.
You know that. But the other passengers don't. A lady undressing in full view, it would cause a riot. And I've enough problems. Oh!
Hackett, come back! Get after him, Thackeray. Don't be a fool, Hackett. Warn the man at the wheel, Thackeray. We'll have him when he gets ashore.
You won't.
Why not?
Jim Hackett can't swim a stroke.
Then get your shoes off, Thackeray.
Me, Sarge, go after him.
Why not? Two drownings in a week, we wouldn't want a third. Now, would we?
No, Sergeant.
You were very sweet giving me the letter, Jack.
There were conditions.
But I take off my hat. There. Now I should like to take off my jacket. It's so very warm.
There's still some champagne left. And I agree, it is exceptionally warm.
You may take your jacket and boater off.
I should also like to unbutton my shirt. With your permission.
If it will make you comfortable. After all you have done, all the exercise. And it would be most unfair to refuse you the liberties I have taken myself.
Perhaps then, Harriet, it is time I initiated some. There. Now, once more. Have such a beautiful throat. And your...
No, Jack. Now, remove your hand, please.
But you promised I could kiss you three times.
Well, you can. After I refasten my blouse. Oh! Something's inside my clothes.
A caterpillar. It must have dropped from a tree.
I can feel it moving. Oh, it's horrible. Do something.
I'll remove it. Now, turn it. Bend over. Down towards the water.
That knife. What are you doing with that knife? No.
Now.
No!
Now just keep still.
No!
Your laces, I have to cut them.
I see you, Fernandez. What? Get away from her, you devil.
Devil?
Are you all right?
Stop rocking the boat. Careful, it's going over.
I'm flying, Harriet.
Harriet. Harriet. Now, hold on to me. Are you all right?
Yes, Roger. Yes. Oh, you have rescued me again.
A gallant rescue, Thackeray. Hey, Hackett?
A firebrand plucked out of the burning. Amos 4, verse 2.
You ready to talk now, bastard?
What's there to say? Anyhow, a decent lawyer will get us off.
He'll have to be very good, then. Two charges. The murder of Choppy Walters last Tuesday night at Hurley. And of Henry Bonner Hill in Oxford this Saturday.
We wasn't near Hurley on Tuesday.
Miss Shaw, you recognise these men?
I think so.
You're mistaken, miss. Our boat, we slept on it last Tuesday at Wargrave. And that's 10 miles from Hurley, with two locks in between.
And they close at sundown. Remember the veal and ham pie you had at Phillimore's Island, wasn't it, Thackeray?
Right, Sarge. Hackett said it was bought at the Dog and Badger.
At Wargrave?
There isn't a Dog and Badger at Wargrave. It's at Medenham.
Oh. I made a slip, then. Anyway, why should we want to murder a tramp?
For practice. You needed a victim, someone who wouldn't be missed. You filled him with liquor, rode to Hurley and drowned him. Pity that Hackett gripped him so hard.
Or that you let your dog nip him.
Dog? We ain't got no dog.
But you did have. What did you do? Drown it?
We never drowned nothing.
Stow your gammon, Jim.
Well, if you didn't drown it... Thackeray, Phillimore's Island. They brewed you tea, didn't they?
Right, Sarge. Over an open fire.
Then I suggest we dig there. Nothing like ashes to conceal freshly dug earth.
Finding a dead dog won't prove anything.
The dog's teeth will. If they fit the bite marks on Choppy Walters' leg, it'll be hanging evidence.
And once that's tied up, there'll be a leak to Fernandez.
Fernandez? I thought you said we killed Mr. Bonner Hill.
You know who you killed, but you were after Fernandez.
Well, we don't know either of them.
John Fernandez is a philanderer, and philanderers make enemies. Jealous husbands, jilted wives. One of them got so agitated about him that they even wrote to Scotland Yard, nasty thing to do, accusing Fernandez of being Jack the Ripper.
Be sure your sins will find you out.
Rest assured, yours have. Scotland Yard investigated Fernandez. Unfortunately, he lied to the officer, gave a false account of his movements, claimed he was with his uncle, the deputy governor of Coldbath Fields, the Steel, on the night the Ripper committed his fifth murder. Naturally, the alibi was checked. His uncle denied seeing him.
Most probably find he is the Ripper, eh, Hackett?
No. Fernandez was with a lady. He lied to protect her reputation.
Oh, a gentleman. Oh, very reassuring for his university, Mr. Cribb, but it still don't connect him and us. Or Bonner Hill, for that matter.
That was established last Saturday.
It was? Oh, you mean when we were trying to revive him?
You were doing that all right. But only because Bonner Hill was the wrong victim. You removed his wallet before you tipped his body into the water to hinder identification. Must have been quite a shock when you examined it.
Though you rode after the body and staged a rescue. Tried resuscitation in full view of passers-by.
Next thing you'll say is we had a rendezvous with, what's-his-name, Fernandez.
Right.
You hear that, Jim? We're psychic. Hmm? Of course. We could have sent the victim an engraved invitation. Come and be murdered.
You didn't send anything, Bastard. But an invitation was sent. By the person who gave you your orders.
The person who gave the orders?
Exactly, miss. If you recall what you told me about them, that Hackett worked for Bastard's father-in-law, remember?
Yes.
Now look at Hackett's hands. The calluses. I noticed them earlier. And when I recalled his habit of quoting texts, well, I couldn't see Hackett as a cleric, but his quotations... Be sure your sin will find you out.
Numbers 32, verse 23. Quiet, you ruddy lunatic.
That struck a chord, didn't it? And you know why, Bastard?
I'm no vicar, Mr. Cribb.
Well, then I'll remind you. Man goeth forth to his work. Every idle word that man shall speak. Those texts are displayed on every wall of the Coldbath House of Correction. To improve the mind, I believe. Pity they couldn't do anything for Jim Hackett. Those texts are seared into his brain. He is a graduate of the Steel.
Attempted murder, wasn't it, Hackett? 5 years hard. Turning the crank, picking oakum.
Strength, total obedience and experience in violence. Excellent characteristics for an assassin. Even more so if we add Mr. Bastard's brain.
A compliment, Mr. Cribb. But fortunately, I did not serve time in the Steel.
No, but you visited there often enough to see your father-in-law, Matthew Fernandez.
Deputy Governor.
Matthew Fernandez planned his nephew's death. Why?
Because Matthew Fernandez valued his job, his reputation, his family. And when he was questioned by Inspector Abilene, well, miss, it caused him a deal of embarrassment.
But he knew a John Fernandez reputation.
As a womanizer. But to be linked at his place of work with Jack the Ripper? That was unendurable. He realized... Every time a woman screamed rape within 20 miles of Oxford, the police would be back. It would make him and the family he paraded so proudly in chapel every Sunday a laughingstock. A prison's very like a school, miss. No secrets. Once the prisoners knew about John Fernandez, discipline would be gone. He'd be forced to resign.
So he asked me to get rid of his nephew?
Yes. Matthew Fernandez was the Steel. The systems, routines, were all under his control. If someone upset them, that someone went on the crank. It was Matthew's remedy for everything. But when his whole life was threatened from outside, the crank couldn't help. So he found another remedy. Murder.
But to kill his own nephew?
The victim was neither here nor there, miss. Fernandez's existence was threatened. The only solution was murder. And being methodical, he devised a near-perfect method. The victim, an angler, so lure him. Punts are unstable, so drown him. and then arrange for the killers to blend with the herd. Have them follow the route taken by Mr. Jerome.
But why Hackett and Bustard?
Fernandez could hardly leave the steel, risk being recognised. So he used Bustard, his son-in-law. Explained the consequences to both of their lives if John Fernandez lived. And Bustard, being equally logical, picked Hackett.
Well, I reckon game's up, Mr. Cribb.
And may God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18, verse 13. But friend Bustard, I reckon where you and I are going, well, we ought to take the bleeding deputy governor with us.
Well done. Very concise, Cribb. So I suggest you take this away.
My written report?
All 168 pages, Cribb, which, as you have just proved, can be condensed quite effectively. Now, your expenses.
We'll have to make one minor addition, sir.
Oh, really, Cribb?
The cab fare to the steel, sir, when I arrested Matthew Fernandez.
Not exactly following the book, Cribb.
No, sir, but seeing the Home Office will save a bit.
Save? How, Cribb?
Three murderers, sir. And it seems they'll all swing together.
Swing, Swing Together by Peter Lovesey was dramatised by Geoffrey M. Matthews. Sergeant Cribb was Barry Foster, Constable Thackeray, John Cater, Constable Hardy, Brian Hewlett, and Inspector Jowett, Roger Hume. Harriet Shaw was Moya Leslie, Fernandez and Lucifer, Tim Brierley, Humberston and the Warden, Stephen Hancock, Bustard and Goldstein, Gordon Reed, and Hackett and Lockman, Terry Malloy. Gold and Matthew were Tim Reynolds, Melanie, Avril Clark, Miss Plummer, Margaret Ward, Molly, Jane Dowell, and Jane, Deborah Makepeace. The play was directed at Pebble Mill by Vanessa Whitburn. ¶¶